CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to a fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, the Sound Samurai himself, Kyle Murdoch.
Peace, man. How you doing?
Doing good. How you been, man? You've been fucking busy. Let's not bury the lead anymore. You have been fucking busy.
Yeah, man. It's been a busy summer. My day gig is professor at my alma mater in DC at Howard University. And this summer, it's funny, like, be careful what you wish for, because I was like, I'm going to try to do more cons and shows, and I got asked to do a bunch. So I've been to Minneapolis, I've been to San Francisco. I did a first con this week, a Blur con here in DC, which was totally awesome.
Yeah, and this weekend, let's go over the list of things I since we've last talked.
Yeah, good.
You've gone across the pond, and you've gone to the UK, yes, and toured with not only Megaran, but
that's right.
I think, who is it that? Oh God, what was the other guy? Because it's what was it? Professor Elemental, right?
Yeah, Richie Branson toured with us, and then Professor Elemental did a couple shows with us.
God, that is like it's funny because Nerdcore is that kind of crowd that has a lot of different ins and outs, and a lot of different friends are in it. I know a lot more friends, yeah, if I said Professor Elemental, then they go, oh crap, he played with him? Because that name is like, right, way bigger in a certain crowd of mine. It's so funny when I saw this, like, holy crap, they're playing with Professor Elemental. That's badass. I mean, of course, you know, makes sense.
He's totally cool too. Like, one of the gentleman hip hop dudes. Like, he's so nice. Like, literally on stage and off it.
Well, I mean, I imagine so. I mean, again, I honestly don't know a bad person in Nerdcore, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I don't know anybody. Right. I mean, truth be told, there, you know, whether or not there, you know, there's always a joke of there being beef, but I never seem to experience people that have it. So I guess either I'm blessed or lucky. I don't know. I could not tell you. But okay, so you've gone to the UK, and then after that you went to.
Right. That was May.
That was May. Wow. That was May. God, it's like July. It's like beginning of July. Okay. So, okay, you went to the UK. We'll break down certain tours in a bit. I just want to kind of get – I kind of want to condense the K timeline to explain,
right,
why it is I say he's been really busy. So you went to the UK. After, right, you came back, you then, right, went to
– We went to Minneapolis.
I'm only laughing because it's like that's when you know it's been a long month and a half. It's just like – Oh, yeah. Okay. So I went to this.
We went to Minneapolis for Anna Minneapolis, which was my first time going, and it was awesome.
That is cool. So it was like the anime convention then, basically, or was there something?
Yeah. It's the same people who do Anime Midwest, which actually Sunday I'll be going to meet Megaran in Chicago to do Anime Midwest. they do Anna Minneapolis, and they saw us perform a couple years ago. We were on tour with Brenna Floss, and they liked us so much they asked us to come back. But the crazy thing is, and this story is funny, because I was like, man, I feel like a rock star, because I told Raheem originally, I was like, well, I really want to do the show, especially knowing that they want to have you perform the last day of the con. The problem is, the day prior, I'm in D.C. doing a big event at the Smithsonian, one of their museums called the Hirshhorn. And I'm doing a sound installation on a big sound project that I'm doing with a colleague of mine from the university. And I was like, I really want to come, but unfortunately, like, they're not going to fly me out for one day. And then lo and behold, I get forwarded an itinerary, and it's like, dude, they flew you out for the last day. I was like, who does this happen to? was like, I'm not even you. Like, I'm the dude next to the dude.
I'm the dude next to the dude. No, I'm just, I'm laughing because I think it might have been, I want to say earlier this year or late last year. I can't even remember. But I always remember it as like a constant comment on YouTube or Facebook, whenever we kind of chit chat or whatever things come up, that you had always wanted to tour more.
Right, right.
Now, having said that, do you regret saying that?
No, I'm
only laughing just because it's like you went from UK to you know, back to DC, then to
San Francisco,
right? You're playing that, you know, like everywhere.
Kind
like,
of
I don't,
funny event.
Like, where did, like, that's right. You're at Kind of Funny Live. You were there with every, God, and I didn't even know that was happening. And that was a surprise to me.
It was that happened the last week of tour. Raheem was like, do you, the guys are Kind of Funny would like you to come and be on stage with me and Xavier. And I was like, what? So he said, find a flight and they'll book it. And the guys took really good care of me. I flew in literally 2 hours before we went on stage and had a great time. I got to, one of my buddies works for Google in San Francisco. So I got to spend the day after, I didn't go to Google's campus, but me and he showed me a really good time just around San Francisco. So it was really cool. It was like one of my childhood best friends. So it was like a really good situation.
That's really cool. No, it's funny because like when I saw that you guys were going to Kind of Funny Live, another YouTube channel I follow, Game Attack, they're kind of, for lack of better words, a spinoff of Screw Attack.
Right.
And I think it was Craig and Craig Skidamus and Sean Bolin were there, and I was like, holy crap, they're all there. And it was such a weird thing to see that kind of thing, because not to say that you guys aren't known, like you and Megaran,
right?
But Kind of Funny,
in certain circles,
right? Like, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say, is that Kind of Funny is kind of bigger on all circles.
It's funny you mention that, but like all the guys who do stuff similar to Kind of Funny who kind of came out at the end, and it reminded me of that part in Anchorman 2 when all the Anchormen came out, and like you get the cameos from Kanye and Will Smith, and so it's kind of funny they did something not as big as a level, but something comparable, you know?
No, yeah, it's definitely been it was fun to see. Okay, so. I'm only condensing again because this is I'm only happy because we're not even at the end of July is when I'll get to see you in person for the first time, and that's
honestly that event in a Classic Games Fest is the one I've had on my calendar like circle since like February, since like we kind of arranged the whole NPC to come down there, and I'm just as excited to see you all and them and just perform, and it's a games like con, so it's like that's totally in my wheelhouse, man, more than the anime and the other ones. Like the game stuff is like where I thrive, you
know? Well, because like I mean it's a, for me, I'm happy that that's the case, that you're touring again, not because, you know, one, because hanging out, man, again, you know, since the last time you toured, you now have a kid. I think you have
two kids.
That's right, two kids. That's I can remember. Yeah, you have two kids. You know, that Rand's married. I mean, again, all these things are here, but it's so crazy. Just because we had talked last time, you're like, yeah, I think I'm gonna start touring a little more in the summer, and then it's just like you just basically said yes to everything. Like, did you have to say no to anything in particular that's come up that you really wish you could have done?
There was one that it was just a conflict of like stuff that a family thing that I'm supposed to be doing, I need to do that, a con and my 20th, making me feel old, my 20th high school reunion is the same weekend as like my brother-in-law's wife's not bridal shower but baby shower.
Okay.
So I had to turn down like one con with Rand, but I mean, like, I've been pretty much doing them all. Trust me, my wife has been a super trooper, because every time she's like, okay, I guess you're gone again.
Because that's the thing, that's the tough part of touring, because everyone talks about the rock star life, like you joke about the whole rock star lifestyle, getting flown out for a day, coming back.
Right.
But yes, it is a bit hard, because it's not just simply
– it's tough, man.
It's not balancing – go for it.
No, I'm saying it's definitely tough, and it's something to factor in now because me, since I work during the week, I still see my daughters. Like every morning, I get them up, and I usually am home to like kiss them goodnight and tuck them into bed, and which is crazy because 5 years ago, I would have laughed if I saw myself in the future saying something like that. But now I cherish those moments. And so on the weekends, it's like my time to not only be there with them, but also give my wife a little bit of reprieve and just be there to help out. Because it's, you know, she's here with my daughters every day. And it's definitely a lot of work, man. I mean, it's a full-time job. And unlike most jobs, it's no clock in and clock out. You're always going.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, that's why I was like so impressed just how much that you have, you know, you take kind of, you know, taking, for lack of better words, a summer off from your normal everyday job of being a professor, which is already crazy. It's the idea of that you said, all right, I'm going to jump head first into this touring thing. And it's, and like I said, from my point of view, and that's why I asked, like, if you said no, is because it feels like you've said yes to everything, which is great, but it's got to be tiring, especially on your wife, just like, all right, well, I'm watching the two kids tonight, and, you know, that kind of thing, or this week, or that.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I owe her so much, man. Like, we've already, like, talked about her taking some girl trips with, like, just a visit, because my wife, like, she's an avid traveler. And she's like, man, I want to go to some of these places like Seattle and Minneapolis. And she has friends all around the globe. So we're already plotting out some stuff for her in the fall where when I'm teaching, I'll be home on the weekends and she'll be out, like, you know, getting some much deserved time away with her friends and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and
you know,
I think that's
part of just.
And that's, again, that's the weird life you never hear from rock stars that point. And I say joking that way, but you never hear from the rock stars that side of it. You never hear the whole, like, yeah, I got to take care of the kids and my wife is at home, you know, dealing with my two kids. And, you know, here I am, you know, galloping around the UK, going to Stonehenge and having all these kind of fun adventures. And, right. and my kids are there saying, like, Daddy, when are you going to come home or anything like that? Which, I mean, it's got to break your heart a bit just because, you know.
Oh, man. Well, like, Skyping on the road, I mean, it's really cool. Thank God for FaceTime. But it also sucks because I really wish I was, like, when I see and talk to my daughter through FaceTime, it's like I wish I was there to, like, do the little things. Like, you know, just, like, wake her up in the morning. Like, we have a routine of, like, shows. She's huge into Doc McStuffins and Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. It's like, it's so much so that I've kind of contemplated, like, maybe doing a kids themed, like, beat tape or something. Because
hold on, let's rewind and go back to that. We're gonna put the tour stuff on pause. Are you telling me that K Murdoch, you know, Panacea's K Murdoch, Forever Famicom K Murdoch, is going to make a Kid Bop's version of his beats?
Oh, not Kids Bop, but
oh my god, theme. That's what I want. I want the Scenic Route, the kids version of the Scenic Route. Can we get a Rob Poetic on that?
Tennessee would probably laugh. He'd be like, dude, all right, now you're taking it a little too far. But I'll just say
now.
This. I have a title and a working concept, and even some of the shows that my daughter likes to watch. Some of them everyone knows, like Sesame Street, and even she doesn't watch SpongeBob SquarePants, but that's popped up, you know, because we watch so many cartoons. And so I was like, oh, maybe I'll do an album where I flip like kids' cartoons and shows,
that'd be kind
but
of
just
fun.
Like flip them the same way I did beats for Forever Famicom.
That'd be kind
so
of fun.
It won't be Kids Bop, but it'll be kids kind of theme, like, and stuff that kids should recognize, I guess.
Now here's a question. Would you then intersplice that with some like older school stuff, like especially when it comes to like because educational television has had this sort of weird thing. Sesame Street obviously is the pinnacle of that. But like we're talking things like what was it, the what was the
Electric Company?
Yeah, Electric Company. That's what I'm thinking of. Electric Company and like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's a good idea, man. I didn't think about that. I was like thinking about all the shows that my daughter likes, but obviously there was a lot of stuff that we came up with that obviously, well, you know, some of it has been made the cut and is still here and just, you know, made for a more modernized audience, but some of it just didn't.
Right. But I mean,
because there is an electric company now, but it's like it's totally different.
Well, because a lot of that stuff, and I think this is why it's so cool to kind of see kids television now, because a lot of the stuff that we had, you know, we still have Sesame Street, which is amazing, and I'm so glad that that's
40 plus years. Which is,
I know,
crazy,
it's insane. Well, what I'm glad about that is that, like, just recently they've had like a kid with autism on there. Like they actually have like which is awesome, which is totally cool. And
right.
And they'll cover things, and you know, they've never been, as a show and as a whole, Sesame Street's never been afraid or shied away from things. Like, I remember it's an older episode, and when I say older, I mean way, way back in the early days when one of the I think Mr. Hooper, what like this character on there, one of the human characters, the actor passed away, and they actually had to talk about death and actually address it. And the idea of Big Bird sort of like, what do you mean he's gone? It's like, well.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And
right.
And so, you know, you think of like stuff like that. We then have had stuff over time, like Dora the Explorer being an Hispanic, which is kind of awesome in a cool
right.
way, you know, teaching Spanish and sort of exposing this. And you have all these sort of cool things that are starting to come out. And I think a lot of that began with things like the Electric Company and sort of has merged into this, because, you know, it began as this like experiment of like, well, what do we do for kids television? How is this going to work? And then here we are today, where you're talking about flipping beats based on like, what would be like, well, okay, because now you have a kid, like you're far more in you know, connected to this. Like I only know just from other people who have kids about Doc McStuffins or anything like that. Like, obviously I have no, there's no reason for me to flip on Nick Jr.
Right.
So what would you flip then? What would you, what would be on the, like what would take, what would get the chopped and screwed treatment from Kay Murdoch?
Oh God, the chopped and screwed treatment. Oh man. Spoken like a guy from Texas. Well, actually, I've written a list. I have like, I use the app Evernote, and I keep pretty much all my brainstorms. I have a notebook or a tag that I use called Brainstorm. So when I think of like album ideas, and I usually think of them like when I'm in, actually like on the go or just in transit doing something totally unrelated, and I'll be like, something just pop up in my brain, and either I'll write an Evernote or I'll take a dictation note through my phone, and I'll say, idea for an album, taking my daughter's favorite cartoons and TV shows and making beats using the theme. So the ones I've written down were like Doc McStuffins, Sesame Street, Daniel Tiger. There's a show she watches from Canada that's on Netflix called Stella and Sam. And my daughter's name, my oldest is named Stella.
Stella,
she
right.
loves that show. So I think I had SpongeBob. And then I didn't think about trying to mix in some of my favorite cartoons. But that's a great idea, because that is like the true bridging the gap, you know?
Right. Well, because
so
that's
cool, man. You kind of giving me a little bit of a.
Well, because I've always thought, and because I always talk about the idea, you know, everyone sort of looks at their generation with this kind of rose tinted glasses and
right.
forget sort of the crap, and always says that the new generation's, you know, their cartoons are crap, which is not the case. It's just
right.
different, and it's just because you've either outgrown it or, you know, you just you can't look at that with that kind of same eye that you used to. Because you look at some of our, you know, our stuff from, you know, our youth, not all of it was great. I mean, people talk about Captain N being this great thing, and no, it's a piece of junk cartoon. It was
right.
just basically a giant ad. Trust me,
right.
I've looked at it again.
For Nintendo, right.
trust me, I've looked at a lot. Let me tell you something, Cave, and this is something I've done recently that we've seen. Since we've last talked, I've looked at a lot of Nintendo ads, and let me
right.
tell you how crap they were. Oh, God.
You know, it's crazy. You don't even have to say like much more, because yes, they were crap, but it's funny because how excited people got when they saw like a real life version of like Zelda or Simon Belmont or something. But everything looks so campy and crappy, but that was part of the aesthetic. Like,
no, I know. And that's why. And so because of all that, like I look at, you know, all the kids stuff, and that's why I hear you saying like, what you're going to flip. I'm like, I'm curious what, you know, not what is there to flip, but it's like, what has, cause like, I'll put it this way. I remember when the Aquabats were nothing more than a weird punk band, a weird punk ska band.
Wow. Oh, that's on my list. Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Yo Gabba yeah. Gabba is like this crazy, you know, almost feels like drug-fueled kind of thing. And somehow Aquabats are there. And what's-his-face? God, I can't believe I'm blanking his name. Just a Friend.
Biz Markie.
Yeah, Biz Markie's there for whatever reason. And it's just like, who thought this was a, oh, that's right. We're making cartoon. We're making the shows for kids. We're trying to make sure the next generation is just as screwed up as we are mentally. But we can't, we have to figure out our creative ways of skating, you know, standards and practices too. Because, you know, when the kids will watch it, look back and like, oh yeah, I remember Yo Gabba Gabba, they'll watch it. Like, how the hell did they have to have that same moment of like, how the hell did this get on the air?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's funny because we watch it now, and technically, Yo Gabba Gabba is like 8 years done, like removed, like, you know, for my daughter. So like, we try to scrounge and find old YouTube videos, and we had a couple friends send us old DVDs of it because she loves Broby,
yeah,
the little green one, and she loves DJ Lance Rock, and I'm like. I'm just like, who – the guys who came up with this, like, I would love to interview them and be like, how did you do this?
I'd like to say, and I have to double check, because a lot of – what's funny is a lot of those shows were made by people like us. I say people like us meaning creatives that either A
– nerds.
Basically, yeah, because you watch this and you're like, Biz Markie's on here. There's no reason Biz Markie should be on a kids show. Not because Biz Markie's not a bad person. It's just, you know, went back to 1990 or 1980, whenever the heck, you know, Just a Friend came out, and we said, this guy will eventually be on a kids program. You would have said, oh, yeah, sure, he'll be on there, and then we're going to, you know, he'll be under, like, child molester or something. It's like, don't talk to this stranger, kids. Not saying bad things about Biz Markie, but just, you know, when would you expect that to be singing to kids about, you know, whatever? Or Aquabats, this band that's, like, dressing up like, you know, Adam West Batman villains, and... they're now a kids program. Like, what world are we in that makes that amazing? You know, and that's what I always look at now when I see all these kids cartoons, and I try to view it in that the eye of like, what will happen when these kids become my age or become like in their teens or 20s, and they look back either nostalgically or just like, wow, that was messed up. Oh, that's why I'm this way.
I can't believe we were into that.
Right, exactly, and that kind of thing. Okay, well, I know that you have a little bit of a time limit. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. And I say that, people, because what are you working on now? I guess because now that you're back from touring, even though you still got more tours to go, what's happening? What's on the deck for Mr. K. Murdoch?
I guess this kind of, I mean, it's funny. I was trying to flesh out like, through a board. Like, I use project boards like Agile, this program called Trello to try to like map out my ideas and like projects I'm working on. And I have a lot of open projects. So I was like, I need to just pick one, like star one board and just work on that. So with that being said, I guess my focus for the rest of the summer, I'm working on some stuff with Megaran and Samus.
Oh, I think you mentioned. I don't know if you mentioned on air last time we talked, or off air last time we talked. But you had mentioned that either at one point you were working with something with Samus. This is me saying I don't want to say anything that I'm not supposed to say, because you had mentioned that either one portion or another you're doing something with Samus. That, because I think even like last time, like go for it.
Yeah, basically, that's just – I'm just in production mode. Like, we talked about the idea of a conceptual record, maybe a small EP that I produce with obviously them kind of trading off. And so I'm just in production mode, like trying to come up with stuff that they potentially like. So we have a Dropbox going where I circulate beats and, you know, they pick stuff. And, yeah, I mean, if it all works out, maybe that'll see the light, I would say, at the – before the end of the year or early 2018, like, you know, which might be strategic for MAGFest and a bunch of other like conventions that we do starting at the top of the year.
Yeah.
And then the other two projects that I'm working on, I just made the first track for Hero Music 3. So I'm excited about that.
That's what I was going to ask you about. And for those who have no idea what we're talking about. So Hero Music 2, an album that Kay worked on, which we had an interview. In fact, I'll link it in the show notes to the exact episode where you reviewed him on. But at that point, he had dropped that Hear Music Volume 3, was going to be sort of a concept album versus sort of sampling stuff, whatever, specifically right. on the Bioshock game. Not Bioshock, right. Mass Effect. I was like, Bioshock. Yeah. They're like, no, Bioshock's my dream.
I was like, oh, definitely not. Yeah, I don't know that universe well.
Bioshock's my dream. My dream okay. is one day have you have to flip like Papa Loves Mambo and make a backbeat for that. That's my dream. But that's my weird screwed up dream in general. Okay. It's a weird dream. It's not a fleshed out dream, but it's strange. Okay. But you're talking about that you're basically going to flip, not flip Mass Effect, but sort of make beats inspired by it, because there's really not there's not a whole lot of soundtrack in that game.
No, there isn't, which is kind of the cool thing. Like, it's funny when you think about the game, and like a game is massive, no pun intended, as massive as Mass Effect, or you know, big as it is. The music for the most part can be very sparse, which I think is, I love that part of it, to the point that obviously it's given me the leeway to do what I want to do conceptually with the next five hero music, which is basically, as someone who's played the original three games or the original trilogy, I have Andromeda, but to be honest with you, I haven't even started it. It's still in the plastic. My wife bought it for me for my birthday in late April, and I just haven't gotten to play it.
Well, because you've been on the freaking road. I mean,
pretty much.
I mean, I can imagine that, like, just like I don't know if you have a Switch. I know Ran had a Switch.
Yeah, I need to invest in one. Like, I need to. I mean, especially borrow one this summer, because I've been doing enough traveling to warrant like having like a mobile gaming situation that isn't my iPad. Because as much as I like playing games on that, there's no tactility unless you have one of those Bluetooth controllers. And yeah. I don't trust that.
I bought one specifically for because I think Cinco de Mana had a controller support, and I bought it specifically for that game.
Nice.
And it's so weird because I played it on mobile at one point, and I might say mobile meaning no controller. And it feels different. It felt like more of a mobile casual game when I played it on the iPad, right. to the point that I never leveled up. I never bought new armor. I never bought things. Yeah, and I come to the boss, like the second boss of the game, basically the plant boss there, and I'm like, why is this so hard? I should be rolling through this. Oh, I never bought anything. I never bought any upgrades.
Wow.
And it was a bizarre...
How is the control? Is it... So responsive? The control,
yeah, it's basically the control is Xbox controller, and Bluetooth it's very responsive. The one I bought, so it's never really. There is always a lag, but it's just because of the nature of things. It's more, and when I say lag, I mean it is in the milliseconds, maybe like two or three. So if you're playing a game that requires pinpoint pixel input accuracy, which those games just don't exist anymore, anyways. And honestly, you're not going to get that even with a touchscreen because of the way those sort of work out. Like, in other words, all the things you think that'll have, like, there's no lag. Like, in the grand scheme of things, there's no lag. There is technically a lag in that.
Okay.
You know, if you do the numbers and you do the input and, you know, calculate it, yeah, there is a freaking lag because that's just the nature of radio waves. It's no more, I guess, by the way, it's no more laggy than any other wireless controller. Because if you think about it, your PS4 is a Bluetooth controller. Even all the switches were Bluetooth,
right?
So you know it's about the same.
All right, cool. You kind of sold me because I'm like I've been on the fence about buying one for my iPad, but I'm like I just don't believe it. Like I don't think they're gonna be good. But you know, we're getting back to Mass Effect. So yeah, Volume 3 of Hero Music of the Hero Music Saga will be Mass Effect, and basically me making if. Like Shepard had a theme, if Liara had a theme, if Thane had a theme on Garrison, all the other guys, this would be the theme I would create for them. And a lot of it is still electronic to kind of fit in the scheme of Mass Effect. So for once, I don't have to worry about like, you know, not like I did have to worry about with the other ones, but basically like the, you know, Umatsu and all them guys coming after me, you know. So, right. Because basically, I'm just taking the idea of Mass Effect and just doing my own
right, using it as inspiration. Which I'm actually like, it's kind of funny. I'm actually looking forward to that more than I thought I would be, because normally I've always been a fan of sort of, you know, the way you flip beats and of course the way that you tend to get the right talent to do. Right. But as I think since we've last talked, I mean, like, and I have yet to hear it because it hasn't hit iTunes yet, but I've been hearing a lot of just freaking good things about the new Jay-Z album That
I've been, the 444.
Right, I've been wanting to hear it because I'm just like I'm resisting the try to pirate it because it's not on iTunes yet. Like I'm giving it, like it's gonna hit iTunes about this week, so I'm not too worried.
Yeah. Just wait, man. Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's really stripped down. I mean, it's not a lot of even choruses. It's just like almost like he went into the studio and was like, just record me over a beat, and it's just him kind of like spitting. They're like verses that some of them again just have not like a full structure, and it's nice, it's refreshing, and it's very stripped down, but I like it, and it's definitely more like his train of thought, his opinions about certain things that have happened, but done in a Jay-Z way where it's like the braggadocio, but also like you can always like appreciate Jay-Z's intellect and the way he like phrases things to like to the point where you have to re-listen to be like, there's some double entendre there, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And the only reason I bring that up is that because of that, I've kind of been in this sort of bigger beat-driven hip-hop kind of mode. Okay. And I like the idea of yes, it's going to be inspired by Mass Effect, and sure, it's going to have, you know, geeky things. And most likely you'll try to probably get some friends to do some lyrics. And I'm just saying that just because of you know.
We'll see. Well, actually, maybe, but I'm thinking this might be a project.
Well, that's even more interesting because, like, before the show, I typically play some music, and even during the week, I've been, you know, kind of jamming out. And as we speak now, I'm kind of preparing for RTX, so I kind of make a playlist sort of get me zoned into things, the whole thing, the event. And I was stumbling upon the Soundscape albums again in my sort of collection. Right. And it's like, man, you know, I kind of miss having Kay do almost traditional hip hop. Like, I say that in a, I know you do traditional hip hop, and I'm smart enough to say it to myself, of course he does traditional hip hop. But it's like, man, that would be really cool to see that. And I like the idea that because this is simply going to be sort of channeling this geeky thing of Mass Effect, that it almost is going to be the official kind of bridging of the worlds, where it's this, right. You know, I mean, you've always taken your old school hip hop approach to things,
right.
But I like the idea of like, well, what if he'd made a nerdcore kind of backbeat, except it's just, you know, using traditional samples or whatever, or however he approaches it.
Actually, one of the things that I've been listening to kind of get inspired is Tumelo's score for Read Only Memory.
Oh God, I'm glad you brought that up because it's funny that I've been listening. Like that's,
It was on Spotify. It's on Spotify now, so I've been listening to that, and then his Midnight Broadcast album. I like listening to other producers.
No, Too Mellow. I had like it was so funny with Read Only Memories because the last time I saw that was I think last South by Gaming, not last by South by, but a couple times South by. Right. And I had not played it yet. I knew about it, and I finally played it, and I hear the soundtrack, and it's just like, you know, beautifully cyberpunk kind of, you know, crazy thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, who did this to Mellow? And I go, okay, I keep that name in my head. And I didn't even put two and three together, and then I look at my collection, I go, oh, shoot, that was the guy that did Chrono Trigger. That, you know, and, right. And then, you know, do all the other things he's done. And I'm like, and, okay.
What is it, Nestlevania, Nosylvania?
Yep. And then he did recently the Earthbound George B.I.G., but I forgot what the name of the album's called, Mashup. Yeah. And it's just so funny of like thinking all that stuff and going, man, that makes a lot of sense. Because there's times I'll be hearing a song in that and going, man, that sounds like a really good beat. That'd be kind of cool if someone someone flipped this and going, oh, well, that explains everything.
Right.
But I know we're running low on time because I know it's already at that. And I'm sorry, people, it was a short one because Kyle is just too damn busy. You're just too damn busy. Like I don't.
Yeah, man. But a good busy. You know.
No, like, no. I am thrilled. Like I am thrilled as a friend that you're like, hey guys, I couldn't be on late because I got to work on stuff. I'm thrilled as a friend, like going like, cool, because again, we had talked. I think it had to be last year, or early this year. You know, before you went on the UK tour. Or it might have been after. I can't even remember. That's how far back it was. But just the idea of like you're saying, yeah, this summer I'm going to tour a heck of a whole lot more.
Right.
And we're barely in July. And you already have not just projects, not just, you know, other things, but you've got, you know, the only thing I knew about was Classic Game Fest. And then even between that, you're like, yeah, I got five other things. So this ought to be crazy.
Yeah. I like I said, we'll obviously have to continue this discourse when we're down, when I'm down.
Oh yes, we will. There's gonna be a live interview. There's gonna be there. You know, because I'm gonna be going to San Antonio on Friday. I'm gonna be at Classic Game Fest Saturday, and I'm gonna be there Sunday, and then I have to work that night. But you can you know understand that this is merely a pause, people. This is merely a few weeks pause when the live thing happens, because I'm hoping by then, I don't know if I'll even remotely have that, but just to explain to you people, especially if you're new to this, between last time Kyle talked and we talked, I had did a thing, and that thing was basically I made a Retro Pi, basically put a Raspberry Pi with a specific version of the OS to kind of make for emulator stuff like that. And one of the features it has is a video kind of thing. And somewhere along the way,
you did a hell of a job, man.
Well, because somewhere along the way, I decided to make the timeline a bit bigger. And somewhere along the way, I started. I'm going to say this right now, and because I have no idea when this will be done, but I'm going to tell you this, Kyle. Next time I see Ran, and for those who are talking about, basically I made my video intro for The Gamers, which is one of the songs on Forever Famicom, and we're almost coming up on what anniversary are we on for this thing?
Next year will be the 8-year anniversary.
The 8-bit anniversary, the Famicom anniversary, the Nintendo anniversary, the forever 8-bit anniversary. If you happen to have a Japanese album, I only say that because one of our mutual friends in Japan is watching on Facebook, I think.
Right.
And I love the fact that cover looks so strange. I won't say any bad, because again, artwork is artwork. It just looks so strange, and that's all I can say. It's still the same damn music, so who cares? But because of that, I basically made this video, and it's funny, I can now hear that song, and because I broke down the beat even sort of like in cuts and stuff like that, it's like I can see now how that song came together, and it's almost like I can't see the stems quite yet in my mind,
right?
But it's like I'll hear these like I'll zero in on certain aspects of not just the beat, but of the rhyme. And I'm like actually paying attention, and it's strange and bizarre. And I know next time I hear that song performed live, I'm just going to stare at Ran and say like, why did you have to save so many damn games? Why did you have to do this? And like, why Yeah. Cause again, it makes sense as a song. It's like, yeah. But when you try to cut a video for that thing, it's just like, shit. But
you did a great job, man. And I mean, hopefully if we can incorporate not only like maybe debut it at Classic Game Fest, but I want to save it for next year when we do some touring for the Forever Family.
Like I said, I've got a lot of work to do. If I'm gonna make a full video of that, I've got a lot of work to do. And I say a lot of work meaning like I am. Because this is the hard part, because I didn't say this to you, and I'll say this live. If you're curious, I'll link the video somewhere. I'll put it on YouTube somewhere for people to watch. But all that video I recorded, all that game footage I recorded, like there wasn't, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so every bit of game footage, you know, obviously the ads I didn't record because I wasn't back in 1990 with a cassette tape.
Right.
Thanks to YouTube. But let me tell you, looking through old – I've learned something about ads, and we talked about this earlier.
Right.
But man, the Japanese had it great. Like all their Mega Man ads were amazing. Like these, like just like with like techno beats of like all these music and Metal Man and stuff like that. And you watch like the US Mega Man 3 ad, and it's just some guy leaving a random briefcase with Mega Man 3, and the tagline is "It's here." It's like, that's it. It's like, who signed off on that? What Capcom exec said that was great? Oh wait, these are the same guys that gave us Street Fighter the movie. That's right. Okay, everything adds up now. Right. But because I've looked at all stuff, it's so fun to kind of do this, because I had not made a music video like prior to that, or that kind of in that kind of sense, and I've always kind of wanted to make one. So it was sort of fun, but because of all that, I've got to kind of figure out how. I'm going to capture some of the modern stuff, specifically like, cause I know that like, I think, I like Altair gets mentioned, and obviously, Counter-Strike gets mentioned. So I may have to, and I'm not the best Counter-Strike player, so I may have to spin up a custom server and like invite some friends to just help me do some stage shots, because like I can't hang in old school Counter-Strike now. No, right. I'm gonna get my ass handed to me out of that. All right, people. Like I said, because I know Kyle's got to work on some stuff. That's it. But Kyle, as always, thank you so much for being on the show, even for this limited amount of time. Because everybody,
of course, man.
Let's say people are new who have no idea who the heck you are, which is a shame, because you've been working on everything from you know, nerdcore to hip hop, from Megaran to Panacea and everything in between. Where can you find all the stuff that you're working on now in the future? And more importantly, how can people find out where the hell you're touring next? Because you're going everywhere.
I'm currently I think last time I talked to you, I was like, I'm updating my website, but I actually have a shout out to my friend James Easterly, who's done a lot of art for me. He is like retooling the hell out of my website. I'm so excited. So it's been a kind of an incremental thing, but the best place to go to find anything about me is the-sound-samurai.com or on Twitter. So at Neosonics, NEOSONIX. Would be the best way to, find out about me, you know? Or, I mean, you can just Google. I hate to say it. It sounds so, like, just Google me. But, I mean,
just
seriously.
Just type in K. Murdoch and we'll see what pops up.
You might see my stuff for what you're definitely going to see my name associated with Megaran a lot, which is great because I pretty much do a lot of – most of my stuff that I do is with him and our label, the Random Beat stuff. And then you might see me through Panacea. You might find me through – just some other kind of audio thing that I'm doing. So yeah, you know, for me, as long as I'm doing audio, it all works. Like I'm happy, you know, that's my life's love. Hey.
For sure. Of course you can find me. I'm at Vincent404. There are the Twitters and the chat rooms and everything else in between. If you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, you can get to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, previous episodes. And of course, if you happen to have some money left over after you bought all of Kyle Murdoch, and I was like, why am I saying that? Kyle's merch. Head over to patreon.com/8bitlife, and you'll find help the show become bigger, better, and more awesomer. So that is it for today's video. Next time, talk to another geek. It's up like blip, 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 blip. This is what happens when you try to speed. This is what happens, Kyle, when you try to speed things up, is your mouth kind of gets all garbled and jumbled. That's all for today. But tune in next time, we talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.